check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Living the dream. I think I said that all last time. Doing good.
I think you say it almost every time.
I think so.
Glass half full kind of guy. That's all right.
I try.
What's the point in being a pessimist? What good is that going to do?
Sure.
But this is a special episode because this is our 100th episode. That's right. We have made it to 100 episodes of Listen to Their Screams. And we're going to do just a little self-analysis or whatever here in just a bit. But yeah, there you go. But we got all of our usual stuff also to chat about. On this episode, we will have our review of Maxine, which is in theaters right now. We also want to remind everyone, did you listen to our bonus episode that we released? Another bonus episode. We'll talk about bonus episodes in a little bit, too. But it featured an interview with Sierra Renfro and Polly Brooks, the writers of Hunting for the Hag. And you can listen to that by going to the archives. And you can also watch a video version of that by visiting our YouTube channel, and you can find the link in our show notes. Ike, another good interview, another fun interview in the books. Sierra and Paul were great guests. Had a lot of fun talking to them. I really enjoyed their movie, and I'm enjoying touching base and getting to chat with some of these filmmakers.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty incredible getting to talk to them. You know, we really liked Hunting for the Hag, and you know, getting to talk to these guys. You know, they're very, very fun. Probably highlight of the interview, in my opinion, is Sierra's story about her time visiting the Zach Bagans museum in Las Vegas. So that was a pretty fun story, and I'm not going to spoil it because you should go watch the episode, because it's a pretty pretty hilarious story, if you ask me.
Yeah, kind of didn't expect it. It kind of just in the flow of conversation, it came up, and that's the way we do it, right? We just chat, right? We chat with these guys. We have questions. We have, bullet points or whatever you want to call it. But we let the conversation flow. And because of that, we get stories like that. So go check that out in the archives. Listen to that story and much, much more in that interview. But Ike, before we dive into, man, we just got a ton. We have a ton of stuff to talk about today. I think we've got like double the show notes of what we usually have. And that's good. That's okay, because it's the 100th episode. So. We're really going to get down and dirty today. But before we get on that, what did you watch this week?
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of chance to watch anything other than I watched X and Pearl leading up to, of course, Maxine this weekend. And then I also watched again from the interview, I watched the episode of Ghost Girls on Tubi, which is a paranormal investigation show that is directed by Paul Brooks and stars Sierra C.C. Renfro as one of the investigating girls. So it's pretty entertaining. So that's another highlight of the show, is that we talked about some of their other projects that they worked on together, and that was one of them. And there's potentially more to come too on that one. So, but that was cool. And then other than that, watch Supernatural. We finished up with season 9 or in season 10. So we're officially in the Mark of Cain stuff, which is one of my favorite, sections of the show. I love the Mark of Cain and the character arc with Dean.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I watched the episode of Ghost Girls also, and it was pretty good. And by what Paul said, if it is truly not scripted in any way, which I have no reason to doubt Paul's word on that. If that's the case, man, there was some freaky shit on this investigation that they encountered.
Stuff,
So everybody needs to go check that out, because man, it was pretty good. Of course, it's got our friend Sierra in it. So go check that out. It's on Tubi. Just look up Ghost Girls. It comes up. And yeah, it was a pretty good show. I like, you know, I like the mixture that they have on their team, right? You know, I like when they do these things and they have a skeptic on there, because that I feel like that pushes that responsibility of evidence and of proving a little bit. So, and I don't know. I don't know that she was a skeptic after this episode. So, at least in this case. So, anyway, go check that out. Ghost Girls on Tubi. Besides that, I watch Supernatural. I always watch Supernatural. And I have also started a rewatch of the series X-Files, which I haven't watched that in many years. I haven't watched, you know, just an odd episode here and there, maybe. But it's been a long time. So I've decided, you know what? I'm going to sit down and rewatch it. And this is the first time I have really, you know, dove in and rewatched it since watching Supernatural. And it is, I knew there was a lot of, you know, cast and stuff that are crew that came from X-Files. But it is also remarkable the number of cast members that you see in X-Files that were in Supernatural episodes. Just saw an episode with a very young Mark Shepard in it, and good stuff. So that's what I'm doing. So all right, let's move on then to our next segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And we're ready for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is our segment where we recommend for your viewing pleasure a cheesy slasher for you to watch. Ike and I both like the cheesy slashers. The you know, obviously not necessarily great movies, but they're all very very fun movies. We like slashers. And our cheesy slasher for this week is The Final Terror. It was written by John George, Neil Hicks, and Ronald Shusett, directed by Andrew Davis. The movie was filmed in 1981, but it was shelved for 2 years as no distributor was found. The movie was finally released theatrically on October 28, 1983. The movie stars Rachel Ward, Daryl Hannah, and Adrian Zamed, who had all gone on to greater fame, which helped the film finally see release. So, you know, it never hurts when you have a film with some before, you know, where were they or whatever you want to say, how you want to say it, before they were stars kind of people. That will help you get that movie out there. This movie had a slew of working titles. It was Three Blind Mice, Bump in the Night, The Forest, Primeval, Carnivore, and Campsite Massacre. And I believe Campsite Massacre was what was released under in the UK. But here in the US, it was released as The Final Terror. It is reported that all the cast did their own stunts. The opening scene of the film was filmed later and added after it was deemed the movie needed more kills. I think they said they'd only had like 5 kills or something like that, and they thought, well, we need more. And so they filmed that opening scene to put in there to put that up. So there you go. There is your cheesy slasher of the week. It's The Final Terror. I didn't put it on here. I believe it's on Tubi. I didn't mention that. But it's online somewhere. I don't recall exactly, but I believe it's Tubi. So go check that out.
Tubi, man.
Yeah, pretty much. If it's a cheesy slasher, it's more than likely on Tubi. So go check that out if you're looking for something just cheesy and fun to watch. That is our one that we are recommending for this week. So now let's move on and let's discuss our first 100 episodes.
Hey, Dave and Ike. Everyone here at Screenbox wanted to say congratulations on 100 episodes. Thank you not only for covering some of our films, but for supporting independent horror. We're all looking forward to listening to 100 more screams, so keep up the good work.
Hey guys, this is John from the Dewey Pod Monster Podcast. I just want to take a second to say congratulations to the fellas over at Listen to Their Screams hitting their 100th episode. It is an absolute monument and awesome achievement, and I am absolutely looking forward to the next 100 episodes of listening to everyone's screams. Your screams, their screams, whoever wants to scream, I want to listen to it, and can't wait to hear what else you have coming up in the near future on your amazing show. Cheers.
Hey guys, Paul Brooks here, director of Hunting for the Hag. We just talked like a couple days ago. but I'm here again to say congratulations on 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. Here's to 1,000 more. Do go for a really long time, because we had a great time, me and Sierra, on your show. We appreciate you guys taking time to chat with us about our movie and our process of making it. And we appreciate your review and everything that you guys had to say about the film. So thank you so much, and congratulations.
What's going on, guys? It's Dustin from the Flicks and Friends podcast. I just, you know, felt like I needed to swing by because homies over at Listen to Their Screams is hitting their 100th episode. I said, God damn, that's a feat, guys. Congratulations. Super stoked for you guys. It definitely is a milestone, so keep up doing what you're doing, and I'm sure in the near future our paths are gonna cross if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay, later.
This is @horror_Morgan here to say congratulations to the Listen to Their Screams podcast on their 100th episode. I love listening to y'all every week to hear your movie reviews and news happening in the horror community. Y'all are killing it. Keep up the good work. And here's to the next 100 episodes. Cheers, boys.
Hey, this is Sierra, the co-writer and star of Hunting for the Hag. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends Dave and Ike over at Listen to Their Screams podcast for their 100th episode. That's super amazing, you guys. I'm really excited to see all the incredible things that you do next, and keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, Sean Robinson here. Wanted to say happy 100th episode to two of the coolest guys I know. From everybody here at Life of Belle, congratulations!
Hello everyone, this is Jeff Whitmire, the Weird Al of Horror, and I want to congratulate Listen to Their Screams on 100 episodes. That's incredible. Congratulations, guys, and here's to 100 more. Have a good one. Stay spooky.
Hey Dave and Ike, it's Kayla. I just wanted to congratulate both of you on 100 episodes of Listen to Their Screams. I'm excited to see where the next 100 episodes take you guys, and I think I can speak for Monica as well, that we're looking forward to many more Wives or Battles in the future.
Hey guys, it's Monica, one half of Wives Rebuttal, and I just wanted to take a second and congratulate you guys on your 100th episode of Listen to Their Screams. It's been an amazing, fun time watching you guys on this journey, and of course, it got even better when you included me and Kayla, but here's to the next 100 episodes.
That's right, Ike. This is our 100th episode. So let's talk about stats. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to do kind of a retrospective of some of our stats, and feel free to jump in with any thoughts or feedback that you have in here as we discuss this. So we released our first episode on September 22nd, 2022. So we have not quite hit 2 years yet, but we're approaching that this fall. We have not missed or been late on a weekly episode yet. So I'm very proud of that fact that we've gone almost 2 years, and we have always released an episode on our scheduled day of Thursday every week since. Wow. We have reviewed 92 movies in total. That includes 73 new release movies, whether it be theatrical or, you know, or streaming or whatever it may be. At least one I know of was a physical media release. Right. We have reviewed 17 classic movies, and also reviewed 2 documentaries. I think it was the Chucky and the Nightmare on Elm Street documentaries. Or not.
Yes.
Just, not Nightmare on Elm Street. I think it was just particular to Robert Englund. Specific to Robert Englund.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, some of those, you know, some of those, the majority of those classic movies were kind of filling holes where we didn't have something else, you know, a new release per se to review. The majority of those were early on. Here lately, it's like we're always able to find something between a streaming service or people reaching out to us with an indie film or something. We're pretty consistent now with the new releases, which I very much enjoy. I do like doing the classic movies, but our purpose is more to review current releases. So I feel like that's much more relevant, a little more in our wheelhouse, and I think I enjoy that just a bit more.
Yeah, I was going to add to that, you know, I think now especially, because towards the beginning, it was definitely, we wanted to make sure that we produced consistent content, so we definitely were probably a little more willing to review older movies in the beginning. Whereas, you know, at the beginning, we didn't have, you know, people reaching out to us with like screener links and, you know, stuff like that. So I count us very lucky that we've evolved, you know, to this direction, you know, where we don't have to rely on like, oh, hey, let's find a random movie to watch.
Yeah. And we've also, you know, I think we've learned a lot in the way, right? We've learned to utilize Shudder and Screambox and those, you know, those a little more. And I guess it doesn't hurt that we're on those mailing lists as well, right? When we get that information. But I mean, we've learned a little more. We're a little more in tuned with the horror releases, right? That it doesn't have to be a theater release to be a new release, right? I get when we were starting, you know, we knew there was other stuff out there, but we weren't as in touch with knowing how to find some of that. Now, you know, we very much are. And, yeah. You know, so it's, you know, again, I the new releases, I you know, that was what we set out to do. Don't get me wrong. I love doing the theatrical releases, but I do get very passionate about the indie releases that we review. I take a little more pleasure maybe in supporting those people. Not that I don't enjoy the filmmakers, you know, the big theatrical releases and everything. I do enjoy those movies. But, you know, if we can shine a little light, and, you know, and I think we've been ahead of the curve on a few of them, right? We watched Life of Belle before it really started to catch fire and said, hey, man, this is really, really good. And next thing you know, I mean, a week or two after we reviewed it and said this, not saying it's because of us, but, you know, it's the number one watched, you know, movie on Screambox. You know, we were tooting the horn of Frogman, and the next thing you know, it's this viral, you know, everybody's talking about it for a while, even still. And, you know, and, you know, and Hunting with the Hag, you know, we jumped on that and talked about how good it is. So I'm kind of proud that we jump on these movies. We're not afraid to say, hey, this is an indie film. It's a low budget film, but this is just as damn good as some of the stuff at theaters. And everybody should be walking, you know, and I don't want to say we need vindication, but some of these movies that we've really went to bat for have really caught on. And yeah. A lot of people have agreed. So, you know, at least I guess we're not completely wacky, or there's just a whole slew of wacky people out there, too.
No, absolutely. And I think that it's really I think it's important to note that, you know, we don't do this with every like low budget movie, right? We don't sing the praises just because it's a low budget movie. Mm-hmm. The one I think I cannot remember what it's called now, Cannibal Cabin, the fucking baby in Cannibal Cabin.
Oh yeah.
I will always use Cannibal Cabin as sort of the exception that makes the rule that not all indie films are really that great. And, you know, no offense to the folks who made Cannibal Cabin. It was a perfectly okay movie until the end, but it's basically sort of, like you said, it's sort of like a weird, like, you know, we don't always sing the praises of these independent films. And, you know, we've watched some independent films that we just simply haven't, you know, reviewed or, you know, whatever the case may be. And obviously it's no diss to those people. It's just sometimes, you know, you see a movie and you're just like, yeah, that's not exactly what I was looking for. And I think Cannibal Cabin's a good example of one that we were like, yeah, we didn't really care for it. It was a, you know, independent film, this, that, and the other. But yeah, so, you know, I just don't want people thinking that, hey, yeah, they just glaze the indie films because they're like, oh, yeah, indie strong. But no, there are bad independent films. But we are of the mindset that that area of the film industry really needs the love. It really needs that support, because where else are you to get prime ideas and where else are you to get prime talent if not from the underdog? So. That's sort of always been my take on, you know, why we kind of prefer the indie side, because, you know, ultimately, Dave and I are part of that indie scene. You know, we are independent mm-hmm. podcasters who just do this. And it's weird. We talked about the interview that we did with Paul and Sierra earlier, and we talked about wrestling. But, like, it's weird that, like, Dave, you do a podcast about, you know, independent wrestling and, you know, the territories and everything else. So it's just weird that we also do a podcast that kind of centers around independent filmmaking and sort of that more obscure side of horror films.
Yeah. And I don't know, man, it's all to me, this, I've always really enjoyed that punk rock attitude of things, that, you know, do it yourself kind of attitude of things. Right. Yeah. That, you know, if you want to do something, man, just, you can find a way to do it. It might not be the rich way, right? It might not be the monetary way. It might not be the most ideal way, but if you're creative and you work hard and you're everything else, you can find a way, right? You can do those things. And the thing is, you know, again, not, you know, all these, the big studio releases and theatrical releases, but they've got their marketing departments and they've got their campaigns and all this and that and out there plugging them. Those of us who do independent type projects, whether it be, you know, music or podcasting or, you know, movies or whatever it might be, we rely on each other for that network of promoting, right? And you know, when we have some of these filmmakers on and we review their movies and we share them and this and that, and then they in turn, you know, share our podcast and clips from our podcast on their social media and they share saying, hey, we were on this show and, you know, here's a clip and you should go check them. It's that's, you know, I like that symbiotic relationship with these, you know, with all these guys and, you know, of helping each other out. And because, you know, we have, you know, we have common audiences and, you know, and it's, you know, yeah, we get excited about the big theatrical releases and we review the big theatrical releases. I mean, we're reviewing Maxine. It doesn't get much bigger than that. but, you know, and again, we watch a lot of, you know, independent films and a lot of this and that. We don't review every one of them. You know, we get a lot of screener links for things and this and that. And we don't review every single one of those. But when one really catches us, we're like, oh yeah, we need to, and, we need to get behind this and support this because, you know, this is it. And, so yeah, I mean, I think that's just part of us over this course of this 100 episodes, kind of finding our footing and our direction a little bit. Right. And that's part of what we do. Part of what I really enjoy. I enjoy supporting, you know, the screen boxes and the shutters and those streaming services as well, because we've said it a million times, they're doing a great service, right, for horror. So, you know, I enjoy when we, you know, when we review one of their movies as well. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of like giving back into the genre and really investing back in it. You know, and that's the goals, right? Is to try to make the horror genre healthier. And, I think we try to do a good job with that. We do our due diligence in watching these big, and again, it's not like people are twisting our arms to go watch these big budget theatrical movies, right? We like those as well. But let's be real. Maxine doesn't give two shits whether we would do a review on them. That's not going to affect them. But, you know, it is important, right? It is crucial for us to review that because it is a big release within the genre and we do it and we do enjoy some of these movies. But, you know, again, I'm rambling again, but I do take a little greater pride when we get to invest in the indie side of things. I really enjoy that. I have a little more passion for that side of things. All right. So let's throw out some more numbers here. We've had 7 series review episodes, where we do an overview of an entire series of films. We've done 2 year in review episodes, 1 year preview episode. We have released 5 bonus episodes. So outside of our weekly episodes, we've done 5 additional episodes. These have never changed our weekly episodes. These are in addition. we've done two Halloween episodes, right? We do a special every year released on Halloween. And then we've done the three interview episodes. And there'll be more of those to come in the future because we really, really enjoy those. And there'll be the Halloween episodes every Halloween. The only movie, there's only been one that we've reviewed that has received a perfect 5 screams rating from us. Anybody that is a longtime listener will probably remember, and will not be shocked or surprised to know that movie was Terrifier 2. We do not try to hide the fact that we are very big fans of the Terrifier franchise. So, like I said, we've only had one movie with the 5 screams, but do keep in mind there is a Terrifier 3 coming out this fall. So that might change. Who knows? One movie received a 4.5 screams. That was Skinamarink, which we very much enjoyed. We did a wives rebuttal because our wives did not enjoy that movie.
Not at all.
Nope, not at all. And Monica still cannot believe that we rated it 4.5 screams.
But, I know. Kayla will occasionally give me shit for it. She'll be like, we'll be talking about something, and she'll be like, yeah, okay, you gave Skinamarink a 4. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, all of this we still get, but whatever. I like Skinamarink, so be it.
Same.
And of the other movies, we have given 13 other movies a 4 screams rating. Now, some of those movies were also classic movies, so yep. That's not all new release. And I mean, when we've reviewed movies like the original Frankenstein, Gremlins, some of those are 4 scream movies. So it's not all new releases. One last thing, when we began the show, we had just the one segment, top three. We did that for many weeks until we kind of thought, ooh, we're going to run out of ideas here. This might be a little monotonous doing the same exact things every week. So let's mix it up. So we very quickly added other segments, which I think was a very wise move on our part. Yes. And it has seemed from our listeners that their favorite segment that we do seems to be the wives rebuttal. We get more response on social media when we do a wives rebuttal than anything else. People seem to enjoy the clamoring that is on when they're on here. So far we've done 6 of those, and yes, they will continue. Because hey, we cannot pass up an opportunity for the wives to come on and tell us we're wrong.
Yep.
Or at least people seem to enjoy that. I don't know.
Who are we to deny the listeners something they enjoy?
I guess. I wonder what they enjoy about it. I wonder if they enjoy the fact that we're being told we're wrong, or if they just enjoy the what always seems to be a very lively discussion. I think it's more the discussion part, right? We really get. I think people like seeing my blood pressure go up too, and be getting kind of worked up, and how exasperated I get at the situation. I think people enjoy me trying to keep Monica's talking in it reeled in a little bit, because as much as I ramble, she rambles even more. It's a wonder me and her ever have a conversation that, it's not just an hour long rambling back and forth. Or maybe we do. I don't know. So there you go. There's a little retrospective of our 100 episodes, or at least our first. Well, no, this includes the one we're doing now. I included that in the count. So Ike, before we move on, anything else you want to throw out about our first 100 episodes?
I was actually, prior to us doing this, I was trying to find back, because obviously when we came up with the idea of a podcast, right? Dave and I have done other podcasts together. Specifically, and he made a podcast. It's called Wrestling Nostalgia is what it's called now. But at one time it was called the Dave Dynasty Show. And so I did interviews and stuff with some, wrestlers and whatnot for his podcast at one juncture. So when we eventually kind of morphed into this, cause we wanted to do something a little different, we were trying to come up with names for this. And I think I came up with like a dozen names, and I was trying to find the names, but, ironically, our first episode you said was on September the 20th, right? Or September 22nd, 2022.
Uh huh.
And I believe like about a week before or 2 weeks before we were talking about this, but in my notes or in my, my texts, they only go back to September of 2022, specifically September like 20th, 22nd, like the day that we like released our first episode, because I got a new phone right around the same time. Ah. So I cannot find the old list, but sometime we'll have to, I'll have to try and see if I have them somewhere like written down or in my notes. But I some of them were a little humorous, I feel like, because I was really just going, you know, buck wild trying to find like something that would stick, you know, when it comes to names. So, but of course we landed on Listen to Their Screams. So
yeah, which but there, that one was on the list. It was on your list. Yeah. And it jumped out, right? I don't know. It jumped out at me at least. I
will say that there were some that I liked more than others, and Listen to Their Screams was one of the ones that I was like, I feel like you could do a lot with that. But there were a couple others that I really liked too. But yeah, there was a bunch though on that list, and I'm gonna kick myself for not screenshotting that list.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how far back my texts go, and it takes a little bit to do that. So yeah, let's keep chatting a little bit. I'll get there.
Yeah, and if nothing else, we'll circle back to it when we end our show. But yeah, it's just weird. He's almost there. So it's weird because the other thing too is when you're trying to come up with a name for something, it's literally a game of throw as much shit at a wall as you can to see what sticks. Because it truly is. You come up with all these ideas, and this might just be my ADHD brain, but when I set forth to do a task, I usually kind of like go into like verbal or mental like content vomit. So I'm like, let me throw as much shit on paper or as on text as possible. And that's exactly what happened with the names. There was a bunch of them, a bunch of random names. And like we said, there were a few that were good, a few that were not so good.
Oh, wait.
And
man, keep going.
Did you find them?
No. I thought I was there, but I think I'm in 2023. So I'm like, shit, I said to keep going. I forgot the year. I'm like, what is going on here?
He's like, I should be there by now.
I'm like, why am I back to like July and we're talking about shit?
Oh man. But I mean, and honestly, that's the funny thing too, is that a lot of times when you look at like the podcast process, you don't really remember or think about the creation of the podcast. Like, you know, especially in a case like this, Dave and I have had prior podcast experience. So it's not like we were starting from scratch. And I've actually had people reach out to me, like mutual friends and things like that, who've reached out to me and be like, hey, how do I start a podcast? And I remember I sent this guy like this huge, long, like book, like of like 6 points. And I'm like, this is basically like how I think you should start a podcast. Like, obviously do your own research, but yeah, here's like a quick and dirty about how to start a podcast. But it is funny that one of the hardest things to think about a podcast is A, consistency, and B, finding names. Because the name thing, it is harder than you think, because you can have all these great ideas, but until you find the one, you know, you don't know. But the other thing is consistency, which I think the 100 episodes is a big deal for us, because I know that in my past ventures of making content online or doing other podcasts, consistency is always an issue. And, you know, part of that is having a reliable person to work with. No offense to anybody who I've ever tried to do a podcast with before. You know, there's some people from that I'm talking about from high school or previous jobs. So no offense to you guys, but y'all were just not consistent.
I don't know what happened. I just lost. It just like blanked out on me. I got back like April. We'll see if we can't find it, and we'll talk about that next episode. I should have thought of that, but I didn't. So we'll figure that out. But yeah, sure. I've had people approach me about podcasts too, and the first thing I always tell them is consistency, right? Because if you're not consistent, people will drop out on you. Right. If you don't put it out there regularly, they're like, fuck this. I don't care how good it is. And if they're not going to be, it's not worth it. Right. It's just they want to know that they can rely on it being out there. And I always tell people, you know, it's like just, you have to just relax and be conversational, right? You just have to, you have to have a passion for it, because no one's getting, you know, well, most people are not getting rich or making money off this. You know, it's, if it keeps itself afloat and supports itself, that's a win. And, so you have to have a passion for doing it. But I'm always just like, just relax and be conversational. Just like you're sitting in a bar chatting with someone about something that you really love. That's, you know, that's what people want to hear, right? They don't want to hear you in a monotone robotic voice, just reading off a bunch of stuff, right? Just chat. Don't be afraid to ramble a little bit and have a little fun and chat and just, you know, but you know, and that, I mean, like I said, we've done some of these things before, and this is always, that part's always come easy. I've never had a problem being talking about shit that I love,
right,
and having conversations about it. So that part comes easy to me. But I, you know, like I said, I've also, you know, I wanted us with this one that, you know, to touch on some news stuff and things like that people, not everybody, you know, gets out there and peruses social media like I do and sees all this stuff. And I thought, you know, so we'll, you know, hit the highlights for some of these people that want to know some of this stuff, but don't want to or don't care to go out and search it out.
Yeah.
And that they may not hear it. And the anniversary stuff, you know, and birthdays, that's, you know, that's kind of fun stuff to include in there. And, you know, and then, you know, and the, you know, the doing movie reviews is a weird concept to me, because it's like nobody that watches a movie should ever feel like they have some definitive stance on what this movie is.
Right.
Because I don't care what you think, and I don't care if you can absolutely 100% say that a movie is poorly made or poorly acted, because yes, there are movies where you see that, oh man, this is not acted well. This is not shot well. This is clearly whatever. But as far as enjoyability, someone may think that's the best thing in the world, and that's okay. So that's why we try to discuss it from an enjoyability, whether we enjoyed it or not. And why we've always tried to point out that, you know what, even if we thought it was the worst thing in the world and didn't enjoy it at all, and that doesn't mean someone else won't. And neither one of us is right or wrong, because, yeah, you know, an opinion and enjoyability are not facts. And, I mean, and I'm the first, like I said, I'm the first to say some of my favorite movies are not really good technical movies. They're not well acted movies. They're not real wit movies. I know that, and I don't care, because I would literally die on the hill for those movies, because to me, they're fun and I enjoy them.
This is coming from the man who loves the movie Rad.
Hell yeah. And I would stand before a firing squad and defend that statement. And
look, I'm not saying Rad's a bad movie, but it's goofy. It's goofy.
It's not a real well-written movie. It's not a real well-acted movie. You can clearly tell that the female writers in it are actually male writers in wigs. There's, I mean, and things like that. So, but it's a fun movie. And as a kid that grew up through the 80s with the BMX craze, it was the perfect movie. Yep. And I love that movie. And I love a lot of bad horror movies. I love a lot of bad other movies. I love a lot of bad cartoons, and I know they're bad. I know they're bad technically. I know they're, you know, they're bad acting or they're bad shot or they're bad written. And you know what? And I don't care, because I don't go into every movie wanting to sit there and sit down in my theater seat with my bucket of popcorn and look at that screen and say, boy, you know, I really hope they nail the camera angles on this one. Never, you know, and I've always been pretty good at, when I watch a movie, when I come out of it, being able to look at it and say, well, did I pull anything out of that? Right. Was there anything about that I liked? Was there a character I liked? Was there one performance I liked? Was there a scene I liked? And if I got something out of it, I'm like, okay, that's all right. You know, maybe that's great. Maybe it's not my favorite thing in the world, but it wasn't a waste of time. And
well, that's what I was gonna add to that. It's like, you know, we've never watched or reviewed like an unredeemable movie, and I feel like maybe our what's the word I'm looking for? Our justification or our gauge on what is considered like, unredeemable. You know what I mean? Like, we've never watched a movie that we couldn't at least say, like, this part of this movie was good, or, you know, this was good, or this was good. We've never had a movie that we've watched and just be like, this was absolute dog shit. Like, not only that, like, we've never recommended someone not watch a movie, right? Like, we've never taken the stance that, like, you should not watch this movie because of our opinion. And that's one of the biggest issues that I have with a lot of, like, movie reviewer websites and everything else, is that they oftentimes use phrases like, you should not watch this movie because our opinion is X, Y, or Z. And I really don't like that, because, first of all, who are you to say that your opinion should determine whether or not me, a common viewer, should not or should watch the movie? Like, not only that, who is using, and this is an example I'm going to use, IGN, which is normally like a video game reviewer. They do movie reviews as well. And I follow them on Facebook, and I recently unfollowed them, and obviously they don't give a shit. My follow isn't going to make or break whoever's reviewing these movies. But I unfollowed them because they made a post about Maxine specifically. They were like, you know, Maxine is the worst slasher, blah, blah, this, that, or the other. And, you know, you should not watch this movie. It is unwatchable. And I'm like, first of all, I am almost positive that it is not, in fact, unwatchable. But the fact that a major corporation like this is going to take time out of their day to make a review of that nature is part of the reason why I approach movies the way I do, because I'd rather find at least one positive thing in a not so good movie versus tell the people, hey, you should not watch this movie because I didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to say
right.
I hate a movie. I think it's shit. I don't like it. There's nothing that I enjoy, but I've had movies like that, and I'm not afraid to say it. But where I draw the line is, I don't have any right telling someone else not to watch it, or telling someone else they're wrong for enjoying it. All I do is tell you, hey, this is what I feel. And if in the course of me talking about these movies, if you generally agree with me, okay, then maybe you'll agree. And, you know, maybe you'll say, maybe I'll wait till streaming or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. You make that choice for yourself. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, I wish every person would go out and watch every horror movie there is and support it. But, you know, I'm just telling you what I think of the movie, if I enjoyed it or not. And I've never thought any more about that, right? And I know there's been people that have enjoyed some of our reviews and said, "Oh, you were right in line with what I thought, and this and that." And I'm like, "Okay, that's fine, that's cool." But that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm striving for. And I'm not looking to sway anybody's opinion. And I don't care about other people's reviews. I don't read reviews. I just have. And if I do see something, it means nothing to me. It has no weight in what I'm going to go see or what I'm going to go like. I'm just trying to say what I feel and hopefully entertain some people. I'm not trying to persuade anybody one way or another. As a matter of fact, you know, like I said, every movie that we review, I hope people go watch it. And I would much rather me say, I hated that movie, it sucked, and someone else go and watch it and say, man, I loved it. And then we can have a little bit of a discussion on why they liked it, why I didn't. And let's talk and have fun. No one's going to, I'm not trying to change anybody's opinion, and I'm not going to have my opinion changed, but I like the banter and the discussion, as long as it can be done, you know, respectfully. Again, people need to understand opinions aren't facts. It just is. So, all right. So we've rambled. We've talked about the 100th for a long time. We've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So there you go. It's the first 100 episodes. Once we complete this one, we'll be in the books. We've celebrated a little bit and looked back and reflected, and now it's time to get back to work. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our news and birthdays and all that good stuff that you've come to expect from us. So everybody stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And we're back with the news. All right, folks. Starting us off, Jeffrey Reddick, make sure I said that right, who created the Final Destination franchise, is set to bring us Bloody Mary Origins, a new spin on the urban legend. The movie is based on the book Mary the Summoning and will be directed by Elaine Schefter Bishop. Casting is underway, so more information is expected in the near future. Is there really a Bloody Mary movie? Like, I know there's a movie called Urban Legends where they kind of talk about Bloody Mary a little bit, but like,
you know, I'm sure there is. I mean, I would think there has to be out there somewhere. I don't, right, off the top of my head, recall any major release. This is supposedly kind of an original take, a more modern take. So I don't know what they're going to do. Should be interesting. I know there's an episode of Supernatural about Bloody Mary. I'm curious. I'm all about, taking an urban legend or, a folktale or whatever and doing a little something with it. That usually, usually makes a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And, for those of you who, caught our episode a couple weeks ago where we reviewed two movies, The Exorcism is now available on video on demand. So you can check out our review of that in a previous episode. We got a screener for The Exorcism, so we were able to catch that, as well as review The Hunting for the Hag, which was our last episode. Or no, that was the episode before last, because our last episode was The Quiet Place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Correct. Correct. I was trying to think if there was another one in there between. I don't remember. I'm trying to think where The Watchers fell and all that.
I think The Watchers was before The Exorcism.
Before The Exorcism, yeah.
I believe. So, yeah. I think it's end of June.
Yeah. I mean, our last episode was the bonus interview, but the last regular episode was a Quiet Place, day one. Gotcha. So that would have been the one before that. But, where we reviewed them both. We were going to just review Hunting for the Hag, but we got the screener link, so we decided, why not?
And just for record, we rated the Hunting for the Hag a little higher. By no means does that mean you shouldn't watch The Exorcism, but if you've seen one movie with Russell Crowe being an exorcist and or exorcism, you've seen them all. So
I'm wondering, I mean, is that just the only roles he takes now?
I was going to say it's like that joke. It's like, if I had a nickel every time that Russell Crowe was in an exorcism movie, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
So close to each other. I think it's like his back-to-back projects.
It must be. He was just like, yeah, I already got all the clothes and shit from the last movie. I'll just go ahead and do it again.
Now, to be fair, and again, you can listen to the review. The Exorcism is not your prototypical exorcism type movie. It's a little different. Right. It's a little different take on it. So it's not like he just remade The Last Exorcist. So take that for what it's worth. But listen to our review and go and watch the movie video on demand.
There you go. But all right, that's all we have for news right now. So we're gonna move on to some upcoming birthdays. July 11th, 1943. Tom Holland. Nope, not Spider-Man. Tom Holland. He's not. What would that be, like, almost 80? Holland wrote and directed Fright Night and Child's Play. So obviously very very. Distinguished individual who's done a couple pretty big movies. Obviously, Child's Play and Fright Night are huge franchises.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's done a lot more, but obviously those, we can't list everything. But,
yeah. can't list them all. But all right, well, happy birthday, Tom Holland. Not Spider-Man. July 14th, 1939. The late Sid Haig, known as Captain Spaulding in House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects. You know, we've talked a lot about Rob Zombie, but Sid Haig is a very shining piece of these films. I quite enjoyed his performance, and he will be dearly missed.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in lots of stuff too, but Captain Spaulding is the best thing that Rob Zombie's ever done for movies. So,
yes.
There you go.
Absolutely, 100% agree. All right. And then the same day, just a few years later, July 14, 1961, Jackie Earle Haley, known, of course, for his role in The Bad News Bears, but also Freddy Krueger on the 2010 Nightmare on Elm Street remake. You know, Jackie Earle Haley is, you know, he gets a lot of hate for his rendition of Freddy Krueger, but I did not hate his rendition. I quite enjoyed the remake, so, you know, take that for what you will.
Yeah, we've discussed this, so go. I'm not going to get all into this again. I'm not a fan, but we did do a Nightmare retrospective, so they can go listen to all of our thoughts on that. I believe it's the same episode. I believe it's the same episode where we did the Robert Englund documentary. I think those are in the same. Anyway, it's in the archives. Go listen to it. But I do love Jackie Earle Haley. To me, he's always be Kelly from the original Bad News Bears. So I love him. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I've been wanting to watch the old Bad News Bears movies. It's been a long time since I've seen them, so have to put that on the list. But, July 15th, 1952, Terry O'Quinn from The Stepfather. And, of course, he was also in the TV show Lost. I don't quite recognize the name, but I do recognize both the movie and the TV show. So I'll have to look him up.
Have you watched any of Lost?
I think I've seen part of the first season.
He's the guy that's kind of bald. He's a little bit older, and he's bald. You'll know him as soon as you see him. But he's the guy that's kind of bald, and he's been a slew of things, but yeah, you'll know him when you see him.
Yeah, I just looked him up, and he's also, he plays one of the major general in The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, so
I do
recognize him.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he's in that new series. But Stepfather's a very good movie.
I've seen the remake of The Stepfather, but I've not seen the OG Stepfather.
Oh, the OG's much better.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll put it on the list.
I'm still waiting for you to watch The Fly.
I know. That is also on my list. I it's weird because like I knocked out like a huge chunk of that list, and then like I haven't revisited it in a little bit.
Remember, Anthony Cousins of Frogman fame is waiting for you to watch The Fly.
He is. Oh, man. See, you had to say that. Now I really have to go and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, got that on the list, and I'll try and watch The Fly before our next episode. How about that?
There you go. That'd be fun.
All right. Moving on from Terry O'Quinn, we have July 16, 1971, Corey Feldman. He is known for a lot, but he's known as Tommy in the Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, my definitive version of Friday the 13th. And, of course, he's also known for The Lost Boys and Gremlins. So, obviously, quite the little repertoire. He's also been in a bunch of other stuff as a child actor. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, Goonies. I mean, so many other movies, and but those are just kind of the horror highlights. And once again, I like Corey Feldman, and I like a lot of the movies he's in. But to me, literally, just the fact that he is in The Lost Boys, I'm like, you've had a great career because you're in that movie.
Very true.
Everybody knows. I love The Lost Boys. Love it.
Yeah, I do like Lost Boys. I really like Gremlins. And, of course, I really like the Final Chapter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every movie he's in, I'd say, it's probably pretty good. At least decent. I know he's in some of the sequels and remakes of the Lost Boys, so I've not seen any of those. But.
Yeah, they're not as good. But but he is in them. And I think he's in both the sequels. I think Corey Haim just shows up in one of them at the end. But I think Feldman's only in, I think he's in both of them. But of course, Feldman did, you know, lots of movies in the 80s with him and Corey Haim, you know, License to Drive and other movies like that. But they don't really apply to what we're discussing here. And I'm sure he's probably been in more horror movies, you know, here and there. That those are just the big ones, right? Again, we can't list the entire filmography. So
that's very true. If we did, that'd be a very long podcast.
And sometimes they tend to go a little long anyway. So
true. That's true.
But this is the 100th episode. We're not worried about time today.
Correct. Not worried about it today.
Buckle in, folks.
Buckle up. All right. July 17th, 1950. PJ Souls, known for her role as Linda in Halloween. She's also in Carrie. I feel like I remember seeing her pop up at some comic convention kind of recently, I feel like.
She does them. And, I can't remember when she was the one that was on my radar here recently. I can't remember which one, but, she's great.
There you go. And then last but not least, July 17th, 1964, Heather Langenkamp, known as Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Of course, as many, 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 many other films and TV shows and everything in between. And hopefully we'll maybe see her maybe one more time before, you know, she hangs up her role as Nancy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best quote unquote final girls or whatever you want to call her of all time. She's great.
100% agree.
And, she was in, Dream Warriors. I love her in the first one, but again, if you're in Dream Warriors, bam, your resume's up there. Cause you know, I love that movie.
Very true. I do like a good Dream Warriors. It's probably one of my favorite sequels to any horror movie of all time.
My favorite nightmare.
There you go. All right. Upcoming movie anniversaries. July 12, 2002, Halloween Resurrection. Arguably one of the best sequels to the Halloween franchise. You have Busta Rhymes pulling out quips.
You just like the Busta Rhymes stuff, man. You just like that extra crispy or whatever.
I love Busta Rhymes.
Oh, Busta.
This is a perfect example of a movie that I can acknowledge is not good, but I love so dearly.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't hate the movie, but it's not nearly one of my favorites. But, I don't, not as big on the Busta Rhymes and Halloween. Here we take it back. I don't have a problem him being in it. I think he was a little overdone in the movie, but, that's all right. Whatever. To each their own.
I just love the, what's the matter, Mikey? Looking a little crispy.
Yeah, you like that line. I will always say that one of the most underappreciated, overlooked Halloween film is still H2O.
I do agree with that. H2O is kind of the prequel to Resurrection. And it is a very much an underappreciated attempt at rebooting the franchise, 100%.
It just does not get talked about enough. I don't know why. And, man, I just don't, I don't know. I love the movie. I think it's great.
Honestly, you know, not to spend too much time on it, but I think the big issue is that it came out in 1998, which I feel like there's like a small span of time between like the end of the 90s, the beginning of the 2000s, where if you made a movie kind of in that time period, it just gets forgotten about. And I think it's sort of that turn of the century, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird dynamic.
I feel like a lot of people are missing out.
They really are. They really are.
Which also, you know, that movie has LL Cool J in it, who to me is much superior to Busta Rhymes. In all aspects.
Oh, man. But, there you go. Give that a check out if you haven't yet. Check out H2O and Resurrection for your viewing pleasure. Sure. July 16th, 1993, Hocus Pocus. I put a spell on you. Obviously, Hocus Pocus is not a horror film, but Hocus Pocus is a definitive Halloween classic. It's a banger. I watch it every year. I will continue to watch it every year. I even like the second film, which we actually reviewed, I believe.
One of the first movies we reviewed.
Yeah, I mean, Hocus Pocus is a classic. I mean, truly. I mean, it just is. I mean, you can't beat Hocus Pocus.
No, it's a fun Halloween film. Again, yeah, like you said, not really horror per se, but, you know, again, some classic horror. It's as much horror as some of the classic horror. It's got witches in it. So, you know, it's, you know, kind of fits into that almost like a creature feature type deal. But it fits, you know. I like Hocus Pocus, like it a lot. Still think it is one of the most over-merchandised movies of all time.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
It's like, man, it's like every Halloween, it's like, you know, no offense, but not everybody who's buying Halloween stuff wants to, and I like both movies, but not everybody wants to buy something that's Hocus Pocus or Nightmare Before Christmas. And it's like, sure. give me a little something else. And it's like, I mean, you can, I don't know, you can buy everything Hocus Pocus. And it's like, wow, it's just, it gets to be a little overwhelming sometimes when you go out, you know, as excited as I am to go out and see the Halloween stuff. And it's like, damn, it's those three witches again.
Oh, man, there's Bette Midler again. She's on some more shit. God damn it. no offense to Bette Midler.
No. Again, I like the movie and I like Nightmare Before Christmas. I just would like a little more variety in the merchandising out there. I think we could do better. But I guess if it sells, they're gonna make it. So.
Yep. Money speaks. Money talks. Bullshit walks. But there you go.
I guess.
And then 6 years later, we have another classic, July 16, 1999, The Blair Witch Project. One of the few found footage horror films that Dave likes, prior to, of course, some of the ones we watched recently.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's a classic. I mean, it is, to me, that is the definitive found footage film. Sure. Obviously, Dave and I are not dumb. We know that there are found footage movies that were made before 1999, but I would dare you to name a more influential film other than The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, it blew my mind when I sat here and looked at this and it saw that Hocus Pocus was older than Blair Witch.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would have never have guessed that ever. I don't know why. But it, for some reason that just, it blew my mind. I like triple check that to make sure it was right, because it just, some reason it feels like Blair Witch was older. I don't know. It's so weird. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I love Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, absolutely. Good old Blair Witch. And we don't talk about the second one, but this one's good.
Nope.
And then another release here on July 16th. Now, this one's a little bit later, about 22 years later. But July 16th, 2021, Fear Street, Part 3, 1666. You know, we talked about, I think in the last couple weeks, we had the other Fear Street movies, and we talked a little bit sort of about the phenomenon that we kind of experienced with the Fear Street movies releasing the way that they released. Fantastic films. Honestly, if I'm going to be really completely honest, I would rank them in the order that they came out, simply because I felt like the first one was the strongest, the second one was the second strongest, third one was the strongest. And I think it's mostly because of its relation to like modern day. I related more to the 90s perspective than I did the 80s. And I definitely related to the 80s and 90s more than I did the 1660s. So,
what you will. Yeah, I may like the second a little better. This one is definitely my third. But it's there were people online that were saying the same, were agreeing with us about these, saying that, oh man, what a fun summer that was of 2021 when these came out, and how, you know, cool it was and everything. And it was, right? We talked about that, I think, when we talked about the first one a couple of weeks ago. It was such a kind of a cool, novel concept of these trilogy of movies coming out within weeks of each other. And it was pretty exciting at the time, you know, whether you love the movies or not, it was an event. And it was just exciting. And we need some more of that kind of stuff out there, right? Let's somebody else do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see that. Love to see another trilogy released over the course of a few weeks. But we'll see. Somebody pick it up. Somebody do it. We'll watch it. sure. and review it.
Sure.
But
if you're really desperate, hit us up. We'll help you write it.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. I don't have any writing credits, but shit, I'll give it a shot. Give you a call, try.
We got ideas.
Hell yeah. I got plenty of ideas. I didn't say they were good ones, but they're ideas.
Hey, there's a lot of bad ideas that get made in the movies, so.
True, true. I mean, we watched Cannibal Cabin.
Sure did.
I joke.
Once upon a time, I watched Coyote Ugly. Whoever fucking thought that was a good idea to make.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, but you know, the way you talk about it.
Just don't. I'm sorry to anybody that loves that movie, Monica, but I don't find a redeeming quality in it. You would think a movie with female dancers and bars that there would be something redeeming. Nope, just nothing for me. Sorry.
I feel like I need to watch that movie now because it seems awful right coming from Monica, who loves Coyote Ugly, to give us shit about movies that we like.
Yeah, so, I don't know that
I'll put on the list.
I don't know that it's not a poorly made movie production wise. I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously got money back in it, and a studio back in it, and there's people in it and all that good stuff. I just thought the movie itself, was horrible. But of course, I also didn't like Cabin Fever, and there's a hell of a lot of people that disagree with me on that too.
But, true. I don't mind Cabin Fever or Wrong Turn. I know you're not a huge fan of Wrong Turn either.
No, I like Wrong Turn, the first one.
Okay, you like the first one. You don't like the sequels.
I'm not even sure I've seen them all, but I do like the first Wrong Turn, but I don't know. I don't know what it is about Cabin Fever. Never liked it from the get go. I'm pretty sure Monica and I went and saw it in theaters. Just, I never liked it. Did not like it. Never have watched it. Tried to watch it another time or two, and I don't like it. So, whatever. This is one of those things where, if you like it, we'll just agree to disagree. And yeah, no, I don't care. I don't care that you love it or I do. I don't. So be it.
There you go.
Is
all right. Yeah, I was going to say, we are now to the final stretch. We have our upcoming releases. We have two for you.
It's time for the Nick Cage portion of the show.
That's right. Holy shit, you're not kidding.
Nope.
So there are two movies coming out this weekend.
Same day.
One on streaming. And then one in theaters, and
both of them motherfuckers. With kind of unique, kind of, I don't know, similar concept names to me. They sound very spider-like. I know the second one's not necessarily a spider movie per se, but it has a spider. I don't know. It's just weird.
So,
go Nick Cage.
He's making that money right now, man. But the first one's called Arcadia, and so it kind of sounds like Arachnid. Mm-hmm. Arcadian comes to Shudder on July 12th. The movie stars, of course, Nick Cage, and is described as a father and his twin teenage sons fight to survive in a remote farmhouse at the end of the world. I'll definitely give this a shot.
I'd say I laugh a chuckle, but I'm watching it. So.
Oh yeah, we make jokes about it, but I'll watch it, man. It's
I like Nick Cage. So, I joke about it, but I don't either. It's a Nick Cage movie. I'm probably going to see it. So,
listen, Nick Cage has made some absolute bangers. If you want to watch a good Nick Cage movie, check out it's called Willy's Wonderland. That movie is so freaking good.
He's got some good ones. I read a thing the other day where it said if he was going to recommend to someone one movie of his to watch, he would say that one, what was called Pig.
Yeah.
Which I've not seen Pig, but he apparently is very fond of it, so
I'll have to give it a shot because I it's on a like I sometimes will find lists of horror movies to watch.
Yeah, I've seen it out there a lot. I don't know why I've never seen it, but yeah, he brought it up. If I had to pick a favorite Nick Cage movie, man, I think I may still be partial to Face Off. That was such a fun movie with him and John Travolta, but I don't know. He's been in some big things back in the day that weren't all my style. I don't know what they all were. But now it's like the dude just wants to work. And he's just this wacky older guy that kind of dresses kind of hip and just is like, I don't know. Doesn't turn down scripts, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
I think he's just in a career renaissance. He's just having fun. Doing whatever the fuck he wants, man. I'm here for it.
I know once upon a time he had, you know, tax trouble, the old tax money. So I think he was working quite a bit there for a while to pay off SF. Oh, he was in the national. He was in the National Treasure movies, right? Was that the ones he was in?
Yeah, he was in. He was in National Treasure. He was in the Kick-Ass movie. He was in Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I forgot he was in. Yeah, I forgot he was in a Kick-Ass. Yeah, that's a pretty good movie. The first National Treasure is pretty fun.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say, if I had to give you like my definitive like Nick Cage movie, it would probably be National Treasure, because that's like the first movie I ever saw him in. National Treasure.
I think I'd have to really sit down and look it over, though, because he's got so many damn movies, I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of them. So, yeah. But I don't know. I'll watch Arcadia. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. See, he was in the Wicker Man remake from 2006. Mm. I've seen that movie, but I've not seen the OG. It's weird, isn't it?
Okay.
Anywho.
Arcadia.
Enough talking about.
Shut up.
We've had enough of the. We've had enough of the Nick Cage talk, guys.
Well, not quite. We have another one here. We gotta.
Correct. We have one more Nick Cage conversation to have, which is the movie that we're reviewing next week. Next week we will be reviewing Long Legs, also starring Nicolas Cage and Micah Monroe, who is from It Follows. Mm-hmm. But it's coming to theaters July 12th, of course. It is described as, in pursuit of a serial killer, an FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end his terrifying killing spree. This has gotten a lot of huge hype online. Mm-hmm. I have heard people saying that this is the definitive horror movie of 2024. That this is the scariest movie of 2024, that this is the best movie of 2024. So we're going to watch it, and we'll review it next time. But I'm very excited for it, and I believe I'm going to go watch it on Sunday.
Yeah, I am very excited as well. I've heard all this, right, and all this buzz. And while I typically don't listen to this stuff, now it's like in my head. It's like I'm thinking, oh, this is going to just floor me, right? I can't wait. But then I sat there in the back of my head and said, okay, who's watching this, though? Do we have the same standards for what horror movie is?
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot of general public people say something about, oh, this was really scary. It really scared me. And I'm like, what? That scared you? I'm like, that was nothing to me. And I've seen people say something about a certain movie. Oh, that was so gory and bloody. And I'm like, what? That was not, you know, okay, so I'm watching more than those people, a little more extreme than those people. So, but I'm hopeful, right? Because we talked a lot about it here lately, that while there have been some pretty good movies, right? I feel like nobody's really just really setting out to scare the shit out of people right now. It's like that, you know, there's some movies, there's some tension, right? But too many of them are trying to draw on that PG-13 crowd. And it's like, we've mentioned this time and time again. It's like, man, I just want to go see a movie which just scares me or makes me jump and it really gets to me and says, you know, fuck the PG-13. We don't care, right? We want the hardcore people. And, so I'm hoping that the people that say this and that's what they mean. But absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hopeful. But we'll see what we think next week.
Yeah, absolutely. It is just around the corner, so keep an eye out for our official review next week, of course. But all right, that's it. That is all we got. There's no more to talk about unless you want to stick around for our official review of the movie we watched this week. But make sure you follow us on social media. Keep up on all of our, you know, posts about all of this stuff. We like to post stuff occasionally throughout the weeks. So make sure you're following us to keep in touch between episodes. But we're going to take a quick break, take a quick breath, and when we come back, we'll have our official review of Maxine.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/rassslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing. All right, and here we are down the home stretch. Time for our review, and it is for the movie Maxine. Written and directed by Ty West, starring Mia Goth, Steve O'Prest, Deborah Geffner, and more. The movie was released July 5th, 2024 in theaters. The movie grossed $6,705,038 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number four. And again, I know you think people hear number four, they think, well, there's some big grossing movies out there right now with Inside Out 2 and I don't know what else. There's some family movies out there right now that are really, I mean, I think it's Inside Out 2 that they're saying is on a faster pace than Barbie was, gross wise. So, you know, and number four is nothing to write home about. And I will note that number three, though, is still a Quiet Place Day One. So that, that performed well again on its second weekend. So, very good. I'm proud of that. But, and again, this is the third. I don't know. Do they really give this trilogy a name? Is it the Maxine trilogy? I don't know. I don't know if there's really been the Pearl trilogy, the X trilogy. I don't know. I don't know if there's really been any kind of name given to this trilogy, but
I don't know. Think so.
I mean, I guess it's kind of the Maxine trilogy, right? Cause it's pretty much about her. But anyway, it's the third movie in this trilogy. And as of now, we're assuming the final. Ty West has said he does have a thought, an idea for a fourth. So I don't know if it's, you know, how serious that is, that discussion is, or that thought is to have another. We'll turn it into anything. But anyway, as of now, the final movie of the trilogy, as far as we know. And you know, here's my thing. I'm kind of mixed on this movie. On the one hand, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I really did. I thought I know I made a joke about it earlier about not going into a theater ever saying, I hope they nail the camera angles and whatnot. But this movie was really, really well shot. I like it was creative and some of the ways they did transitions and in the shots and stuff. It wasn't so traditional in its approach, right? It was just a little fresh for me. And, I obviously I love the soundtrack, right? This movie was set in the '80s, had some great songs in it, a great look. And it was a fun movie or whatever else. I think where some of my problem lies is I don't think there's enough horror in this movie for me. There was some tension here and there. I don't know. There just wasn't until like pretty much the very end of the movie. There wasn't. I mean, unless I really missed something, there wasn't a whole lot of horror. I mean, you know, I've always said that I'm not a big fan of Pearl. It's okay, but I really loved X, and X to me was just a really well done good horror movie. And while Maxine was a pretty good movie, it didn't have a lot of horror in it. It was more of a character movie about her and her trying to avoid her past and have a success. And I don't know. It was more, to me, a little more drama than horror. And, that took away from it a little bit for me. Cause I guess I was hoping, cause you know, I knew there was her and her past, and I knew there was the serial killer was going to be in it that was, you know, she was supposed to be trying to avoid and other people. So I thought, oh, there'll be some good stuff, right? It's a good kill. And yeah, there were some kills in it, but it's like, I don't know. They were kind of blah for horror. And it just, so I don't know. The movie felt more drama than horror to me. And, that kind of took me out of it a little bit. And, that part of it kind of let me down a little bit. So Ike, what do you think?
You know, I do have to agree to some extent. And here's the deal. I will say, you know, I rewatched Pearl and X prior to watching this movie. And when you line them up, first of all, I liked Pearl a lot more this time around than I did my initial watch of it. So I'll make that comment first. Loved Pearl. liked it a lot more than I remember I liked it. But Pearl kind of provides sort of this, like, existential, like, crisis that, like, a sociopath is going through. And it is, it's terrifying. It is a psychological thriller. And then you have X. X is more of a traditional slasher, you know, a la Texas Chainsaw, you know, which obviously presents its own horror elements. You know, you have a couple, you know, old people who are going around and just killing folks because why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. And then you have Maxine, which presents sort of as like a drama thriller where we're kind of like following Maxine's, you know, career as she becomes a movie star. And it wasn't bad. It was just that as far as horror movies go, it wasn't very scary. And obviously it was still rated R. You know, they weren't trying to cash in on, you know, a larger audience. Because, you know, Maxine's a porn star. So obviously there's going to be some inappropriate shit in this movie. But yeah, you know, I do have to agree that this was definitely a departure from the other films. It was still very good. I enjoyed it greatly. It did not have the same aura of the other films. It didn't have the same feeling. You know, watching this movie was not the same as when I watched Pearl or when I watched X. And I love the huge array of actors in this movie. It had a very talented cast. So it was a very well acted movie. The settings were really cool, you know, and, you know, the references to like Night Stalker and everything else were really interesting. And sort of the culty satanic panic of the 80s was really well captured. Obviously, I wasn't alive during this time, so I'm going to assume that it was well captured. but, you know, it was great. I liked it, but it just did not feel like a horror movie. Which I like you said, last 20 minutes of the movie was straight up cult horror, but everything else just kind of seemed like a stalker movie, you know?
Yeah. It didn't feel like part of this trilogy to me, except for the, you know, having her in it. It was just different. And, you know, again, and if you'd taken it out of the 80s, that would have been a big hit for me personally, because I'm a sucker for things set in the 80s like that. And then if you had taken Kevin Bacon out of it, that'd have been a big, huge hit, because Kevin Bacon was great in it. But, I don't know. While it was a good movie, and it was definitely well done, definitely well acted, definitely well cast, all that, right? It had everything that a good movie has, but it wasn't at all what I thought or expected, and it really disappointed me because of that. I just was so let down. Because, you know, like you said, even with Pearl, which is not like I highly enjoyed it, as, you know, or as much as X, it was still clearly a horror movie, right? It had some terrifying shit in it, some scary shit. And this, I mean, this didn't, right? I don't know. And even the big, kind of the big twist that came at the end a little bit, it didn't really even catch me that off guard, because I kind of thought that's what they were going to probably do because of the way they built it. So it didn't even really throw me for a loop on that. I was like, saw it. I was like, oh, okay. You know, and it was like, well, that's what I thought. So I didn't even have any kind of big aha moment where it caught me off guard. It's just, I don't know. I have to say, going into it with what I thought and watching the other two movies, this one was really, I don't know, it disappointed me. I thought it was a letdown. And it's not because it was a bad movie, but I don't think it was a horror movie. To me, I don't want to give anything away, but there is a kill very, very late in the movie. If you had taken that one off or done it a little different, to me, there's just really not hardly any horror elements to it. That's just not really just, you know, thriller type elements. I don't know. Like I said, and the movie was fine. Mia Goth was excellent in it, right? She's so talented. And everything was just, it was really well done, but it really disappointed me. It really let me down. And I don't even know, but you know, and when you take that stuff away, well, the movie was okay and it was good. And it's just, I don't know. It's not my kind of movie, really. You know, it's not like a movie that I would seek out to rewatch because it, you know, it just didn't have enough, you know, even as that thriller type, whatever crime type thriller, whatever you want to define it as, it's not even like it had a whole bunch of that, right? I mean, it was there, but it's not even like that was so good that it made up for the lack of horror. It was just kind of, I don't know. It was disappointing. I was disappointed. Not because it was a bad movie, but just because it's not the type of movie at all that I anticipated. I guess just knowing the other two, I really thought with this one, it was just going to be, you know, balls to the wall. Let's just go berserk and wrap this sucker up. And
honestly, to kind of add to what you're saying, I honestly think if they had like made the actual Night Stalker, the villain, like Richard Ramirez, and like maybe, you know, hyperbolized some of his crimes, it probably would have been a better movie. I felt like the ending was very predictable, but it, you know.
I mean, for the Night Stalker being that story being so prominent in this movie, it wasn't really that big a factor. I mean, it, I don't know. It's like they tried to give you some misdirection, and then like the whole Night Stalker hanging over was supposed to be the what was providing them all tension, and essentially the Night Stalker was getting blamed for a few things that wasn't him. But again, I thought that was a little bit of a letdown. I thought that would play into it a little more. I don't know. It was, I mean, I understand what they did with it and how they used it, but it was, I don't know. It's almost like comparatively speaking, when it's all said and done, you find out what's going on. It's like the Night Stalker just felt tame. It's like, yeah. It didn't, I mean, I don't know. And it's, I don't think that should be, I don't know. And again, you know, like I said, hats off to everybody that made the movie. Everybody's in the movie. It let me down. It wasn't what I wanted. It's just not what I expected coming out of the other two movies. It had little moments here and there. Like the part where she was going to get, you know, mugged or whatever. And the way she took care of that mugger in the alley, that was a little vicious. It had little moments. I don't know. I was expecting, as it being the conclusion of this trilogy and the final one, that it would kind of just bring everything we've had all together and really push it up, to the next level and really just take it home on a high note. I don't know. I felt like the trilogy kind of went, it's like it went downhill, right? You know, I thought X is my favorite. Pearl was pretty good coming down, you know, but it's still a little less to me, but down a little bit. And then it's like I thought there was kind of a big drop there to Maxine. It just, I don't know. It's hard for me to, because I don't want to say it was a bad movie, because it wasn't that it was a bad movie. To me, it was a touch boring, because it was just predictable, and it didn't have a lot of the elements I hoped it had. But it was just, and I keep saying it, but it's the right word. It was disappointing to me. Not what I had hoped. And not what I was wanting to go see. So, but you know, it is what it is. It's doing okay, but I don't know. I kind of have a gut feeling that, there'll be a drop in the box office on this one, because, you know, A Quiet Place Day One held up there at 3. And I think it's one of those movies that when people see it, you know, they would go out and say, oh man, you need to go see that. That was really good, man. And again, we talked about with that movie, maybe it was missing some horror elements, right? It wasn't maybe as much tension as what we were used to with that, but they made up for it with the emotion, the emotions, right? In the that storyline with the feel. This one didn't have anything that made up for it that strongly, right? For cutting down the horror elements, there, nothing else really took the slack up. To where you could say, well, it didn't have the horror elements, man. There was still this, which really got me. It didn't have anything else to balance out. So,
yeah. And before we close, I do want to add to that, you know, the movie had its redeeming qualities. It's just that if you're going into this for kind of, like you said, sort of a definitive, you know, cap off to this, you know, trilogy that we've been watching over the last few years, it does feel like a little bit of a letdown, because you're like, I mean, yeah, that kind of seems like how this movie should have ended, but it just didn't quite hit the mark. And I hope, and this is kind of circling back to something we mentioned earlier, that, you know, Ty West has mentioned a fourth movie, and I kind of hope that they make a fourth movie and it sort of redeems everything a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, I think another big thing that plays into this is that they had a much larger budget for this film than they did the other two movies. If I remember correctly, X and Pearl were filmed back to back, and they were filmed during COVID. So, you know, it's, if I'm recalling correctly, I could be completely wrong about that. I do know that they were filmed during COVID, but I'm almost positive they were filmed back to back. So, you know, this movie having a much higher budget, perhaps, maybe kind of misled them a little bit. Maybe having that, you know, big blockbuster budget sort of made them lean more heavily into sort of a different genre. I'm not sure, not totally sure where they were going with it, but
yeah, I don't know.
You know, it is what it is. You know, it wasn't a bad movie. I still enjoyed it. It was just, it was not 100% what I was kind of wanting from, like you said, the finale. You know what I mean? This was supposed to be the finale.
I'd be curious about, because I know some people out there that before this absolutely love, you know, love X and love Pearl, love the movies. I'd be curious to see what they, if honestly, would think about this one, you know, if they would be a little let down as well, or if they thought it held up. I don't know. I just don't feel like it kind of held up the story standards of the first two of the trilogy. It went a different, like you said, a different direction. I don't think that was the wisest move. I really don't. I don't think they were leaning into what brought them to the dance with these movies, but, I don't know. They're the ones with the budgets and the backing and the whatever else. So they get to make those calls. I'm just a lowly podcast guy who gets his opinion, but, so, Let's rank this sucker, Ike. I gotta say, for being let down, again, wasn't a bad movie, but I can't say that I overly enjoyed it too much. I think I'm gonna have to give this thing a 2.5 out of 5. It disappointed me. You take away, like I said, the 80s part redeemed it a little for me. You know, Mia Goth's performance was great. That, you know, helped a little. But it's not the movie I wanted, not the kind of movie, type of movie I wanted. Much less even on not even the necessarily the delivery, just not the style of movie that I thought we were getting. And it kind of took me out of it. So I think I'm going to have to give it a 2.5 out of 5, Ike. So what are you giving it?
Yeah. You know, and, I didn't go that low. You know, like I said, I watched Pearl and X prior to this movie. And I ranked Pearl and X. And so part of my ranking here is, you know, these are the other two movies that I watched, and then I ranked those and I'm like, how does this movie compare? So just for point of reference, I gave Pearl a 4, I gave X a 3.5, and I gave Maxine a 3. It wasn't a horrible movie, but it was very much middle of the road for me. And, you know, and I think that had they maybe taken a little bit of a different direction, you know, I think it could have been better. But I just feel like they maybe, I don't know. I'm going to blame it on the big budget. I think that they got too many, you know, too many hands in the cookie jar, you know, everyone was trying to do their thing. Everyone was trying to make a movie that they wanted to make. And I think they just got lost somewhere along the way. Wasn't a bad movie. You know, I just feel like it kind of lost its way a little bit.
I agree. I think it was a foundation there, but I just really think they, I don't know, when they went to build the home on top of it, I think they really screwed up the floor plan. And, I don't know, man. I think they were set up to have a great movie coming out of the other two. And, I don't know, just somewhere I think they fumbled the ball. So be it. And, I don't know. Maybe part of the reasoning is, Maxine didn't have Nick Cage in it. Maybe that's what it is, because, we've talked about next week. Next week apparently is the week of Cage, because we mentioned Arcadian coming to Shudder on July 12th. And then, of course, we'll be reviewing Long Legs, which also has Nick Cage in it, coming to theaters July 12th. So we'll see if the hype behind Long Legs, if it lets us down as well, right? We're hyping these things up. We're hearing the talk. We heard it about Maxine and we're like, not what we thought. And we're hearing it about Long Legs. So let's see if it delivers for our expectations. So, no pressure, Nick. No pressure. But, I don't think Nick can feel pressure. He doesn't strike me as a, kind of a pressure driven guy. He's kind of like, whatever.
True.
I don't care, man. Whatever you want me to do. But, so that's what we're reviewing next week. But as we close out, thank you to all of you for listening and following, for all your interactions on social media, for all the feedback you've given us and to our wives, not only in the current week, but again, as we have, retrospectively looked at our run, for everything that all of you have done for all 100 episodes. There's still a whole lot of you on social media who have, really been interactive and supportive of us from the get-go, and you're still there, and, we still hear from you. And, you know what? That's a good feeling, because apparently, at least in your eyes, we're doing something okay. We didn't lose you. And, fortunately, we've gained more along the way. That's the hope when you do this, yeah. Right? That it's a forward movement in some way. And I think, in these 100 episodes, I think we've had a lot of forward movement. I mean, I'm not trying to undermine it. We've achieved a lot, more than I feel, you know, we could, right? I was just like, we'll get on there and chat about movies. Whatever happens, happens. But we've had a lot of great interaction, a lot of, you know, good feedback from listeners, from fans, from movie makers and actors and, other reviewers and other podcasters and people that run streaming services and all kinds of people. It's been really great. And, it's been a blast, and it's even more fun as we conclude episode 100 as when we conclude episode 1. So, I'm looking forward to diving into the next 100 and keep on keeping on. As they say in the, I don't know who says that. Somebody said it. So Ike, as we draw to a close, our 100th episode and look to the next, anything you want to throw in there?
You know, I would be remiss if I didn't quote, Maxine Minx herself, but, I will not accept a life I do not deserve.
There you go. All right. See, I more feel like we should quote the Grateful Dead and say, what a long, strange trip it's been.
Amen.
But, that's all right, man. That's, life's more fun when it's strange and weird. Weird's fun. So, anyway, there you go. We know it's been a long episode, but what'd you expect? It's the 100th. So, of course, we're going to be a little more emotional and a little more introspective and chatter a little more. So, we'll close it out. There you have our review of Maxine. Again, next week, we review Long Legs. Is this our first Nick Cage movie? No. We did Renfield.
We did
Renfield. So never mind. I was like, man, we haven't done anything with Nick Cage yet, but now we have. So anyway, next week, Long Legs, thank you for 100 episodes. Thank you for all you do. Stand by for 101. It's coming. But until then, wherever you go, wherever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.